You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 149 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, April 16th, and from Nashua, New Hampshire, I'm Danny Donuts. We actually have a special guest today, but first, let's toss it over to my fellow New Hampshire citizen. How we doing, Ray? How you doing?
That just felt so New Hampshire citizen. I think we're like New Hampshireites or New Hampshireans.
Okay, so we were trying to figure that out last time. New Hampshirean. New Hampshire, I don't know. I don't know what the right word is for that.
I don't know, but everybody just says we're the 603, so I am just going to say we're the 6, and then people will think I'm cool and I'm from Toronto, even though I'm not at all. And thanks for throwing it to me first. It just makes me feel more important than our special guest, Kappa. No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
OG crew first.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, JR is actually sick right now. I'm a little bit sick too, but JR is like, I don't really know exactly what's going on with him, but hopefully he gets better soon and that he can come back next week, but we'll see. But for today, luckily I was able to call upon one of the homies, and now he's our special guest for this week, and it is Dr. Tinky Winky. Doctor, what's up? How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Ray? Thank you for having me on the show, guys. Ray and Danny, I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. I love being on the podcast for anything, really. I was just strolling through New Hampshire, and these guys saw me on the side of the street, and they picked me up, so I figured I'd come join the show and talk about the Witchwood cards, just because I just came from the Witchwood. That's actually why I was walking through New Hampshire streets, because that's all New Hampshire is. It's just a bunch of woods.
That's true. Why did they not have the invitational here? Why did they have it in California? California does not represent the Witchwood at all. Like, we just had PAX East too. Ben Brode was literally just here. He could have just driven up, taken a 30-minute Uber, and been in the real Witchwood. It even just snowed.
We're the inspiration. This is the inspiration for the set.
That's true. Like, if you go outside right now at nighttime and you just drive with your lights on, you'll actually feel like you're either in the Witchwood or a horror movie. One or the other. Either way, you feel like you're going to get killed by something.
Yeah, preferably a forest guide. The druid card. I can imagine walking through New Hampshire. I'm pretty sure I might have seen him on the side of the road. And he was like, hey, come with me. I can get you some cards. And I said, nah, I got to go do a podcast.
I mean,
that's Ray's outfit. That's Ray's Monday suit.
Yeah, that's what I do when I'm not playing Hearthstone. I just go out, put on my suit, go outside, and try to lure people into the woods. Oh my god. Yeah, there's probably somebody that actually does that in New Hampshire. Like, oh god. There's going to be a serial killer named after that now. And we're just going to be like,
forest guide?
Oh, God. It's even worse because of forest. Oh, God.
It matches perfect with the Witchwood.
It does.
It's just perfect.
But, yeah, so Jace, you actually just casted the Witchwood Invitational, which is kind of what we were talking about. I don't think we actually just flat out said it. But do you want to explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, so I was just got home from casting the Witchwood Invitational, and what that was is Blizzard decided to have a fun little promotional tournament with no real prizes, just bragging rights between the Americas and Europe region, and all it entailed was it brought 4 players from each region, from the European region, I believe it was Tyler, Orange, I'm trying to think of the other two, Sho, and Radu, RDU. And from the Americas region, there was Firebat, Alistraza, Savitz, and Dog. And they basically played some show matches with the new cards. The requirement was During the games, they had to have at least 8 the Witchwood cards inside of their decks, and they would just play kind of a conquest format, and each game leading up to the finals, whichever side won, they would grant a ban towards the other player's decks in the final game. So what was really funny is the Europes actually got 4 bans, and they banned 4 classes from the Americas, and Firebat still brought it home in that final game. And we all know the saying, the only game that matters is the last game, so the Americas is officially better than the European region by far.
That's insane. So
it ain't greater than EU.
So basically they banned 4 players, and Firebat was the only one that got to play, but he just destroyed everyone?
No, not 4 players. No, they banned 4 classes. So they banned the Warlock class, they banned the Paladin class, they banned, I believe, the Shaman class, and I think the last one they banned was possibly Priest or Rogue. It was one of the two. I can't remember. But it essentially forced Firebat to play Mage, which Mage was really unrefined at that point. It forced him to play Hunter. Hunter was unrefined at that point. And I can't remember the last deck he played. I know he played another one that was relatively unrefined for the whole situation.
I mean, that was literally right after the Witchwood launch, though, right?
Yeah.
It was the day after.
Yeah, it was less than 24 hours after the Witchwood had launched. These guys and gals were playing in a tournament, and it was great to see. I got to see some crazy Shudderwalks. One of the funniest thing was, if you don't know what Shudderwalk is, it's the Shaman legendary, 9 mana, 6/6, and it repeats all other battle cries cast this game. And the funniest part about it was, Orange actually was playing against Alistraza, and Orange had pulled off a combo with Shudderwalk, where he bounces the Shudderwalks back to his hand, makes him cost 1 mana, and then he played like 3 or 4 Shudderwalks and then just left his computer and went to go get something to drink while the Shudderwalks were just beating Alistraza down.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
That's great.
That's actually beautiful. Now I want to do that at prelims, just like go off with Shudderwalk, get up and be like, hold up, I'm going to the bathroom real quick, getting ready for the next game. I was talking with AP Drop, and he said that there's something similar to when Patron Warrior was a thing, where once you queued up all the animations and you had lethal, you could click concede and your opponent would blow up instead of actually you conceding, because the game was over, you had already won since you queued up all the animations. And apparently, if you close your game client and then come back on, once you close your game client, your opponent blows up, so when you get back on, you'll have won that game, but you don't have to like sit through 2 or 3 minutes of animations.
So the punishment for losing is that you have to sit through it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fun of the Shudderwalk deck. Not only are you really good against control decks because you have this like almost Quest Mage-esque infinite combo, but it's even better than Quest Mage because you thought Quest Mage was annoying seeing all the fireballs. Well, this one, it's like you do 1 fireball a turn, but you have to play 7 Shudderwalks, and they have to sit through every single animation just to make sure they're dead. It's a lot of fun. I mean, don't you have fun just like playing cards and watching your opponent sit there and watch you because they know they're dead?
I don't know. I was playing that deck today, and I was like, there was one point where I played like, because they were all 1 mana, and I played a Shudderwalk, and then I realized I hadn't played a Life Drinker yet. So I actually wasn't killing him. I was just I was just making more Shudderwalks in my hand. And then the guy greeted me because I'd already played like 3 or 4 Shudderwalk combos. Because he realized that he wasn't losing life. And then I was just like, oh, wait a second. And I just played like a Soul Drinker and then just played like 4 more Shudderwalks. And then I just kept greeting him.
That's pretty funny.
That's what we call extended BM.
Literally, it's because I had the battle cry, dude. Right? Because you're also comboing off with like, the fire. What is it called? Heart of the Fire Plume.
Fire Plume Harbinger.
Yeah, it reduces the cost of your elementals. So you have the mimic elemental, the murmuring
elemental. Yes,
murmuring elemental. So it doubles your battle cry. So you can just. You just have so many triggers, so you can have a turn where you play, like, 12. Theoretically, you could play, like, 20 Shudderwalks in a turn, something like that, or 20 triggers of it.
I actually have an interesting fact that maybe, I mean, I'm sure some people have deduced it already, But if you play Murmuring and Shudderwalk, the Shudderwalk actually casts Murmuring Elemental's Battlecry, so you don't need to Murmuring again. You can just play the Shudderwalk again. So you don't need to go Murmuring Shudderwalk. You can just go Murmuring Shudderwalk, the first one. Shudderwalk will cast Murmuring, and then the next Shudderwalk will repeat its Battlecry twice.
Oh my
God. Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know. I just like don't even think after I have the full combo. I just play cards and then sit there and wait. And then sometimes I forget to play the cards that actually kill them and realize it halfway through as my opponent's emoted. I don't think if he emoted me, I would have actually noticed. I think I would have just sat there and wondered why he wasn't conceding. But he kept emoting me, and I was like, there's something wrong here. Why isn't he dying? And then I was like, oh, okay, let me just play this and then play 20 more Shudderwalks and it'll be good. But yeah, do you guys want to just get into it? Get into the meta talk, what we think about what the expansion's been like so far and that stuff? Because that's really all the news that we have this week, I believe. Right, Danny?
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, I'm down for whatever as well. I think the only thing news related that actually got announced recently was they finally announced the location for the spot in HCT, Italy. And I believe it's, if I remember correctly, the city starts with a V. It's I'm drawing a blank on it.
Valencia?
No. It is...
Venice.
It's not Venice. It's not Venice. It's
Vienna.
Varese.
What?
I don't even know what that... V-A-R-E-S-E. It is a city located just outside of Milan.
I'm going to call it Versace.
Okay, that's fine. It's in the city of Versace. They said ACT lands in the Paesa del Sol, which means the land of the sun. So, Ray, if you go there, you're going to get sunburnt.
No. No, I'll fit in.
No, Ray's just going to be inside all day. It won't
Oh, you're right. Forgot about that.
Yeah, I already got punished enough for going outside one day. I was feeling good yesterday. I went outside and then my body was like, nope, nope, nope. You're not coming outside again. You're still sick, you idiot. What are you doing? So I learned my lesson. Never go outside. Yeah. So I'm just going to stay inside. Maybe I'll go to like an escape room or something, but you're still kind of inside. Like there's like maybe like a 1 minute period where you're trying to awkwardly find your Uber. But after that, you're inside for the whole time. Oh my God, dude, there are so many times at PAX East where we were just unable to find the Uber driver.
Yeah, that did happen a lot.
And he would just eventually cancel, and then we have to call another one, and the other one would just immediately find us, and we'd be like, wow.
What was the other one doing? Am I right?
Dude, I mean, we had that experience. It was either they were amazing, and they could just like, did their job, or they just completely sucked, couldn't speak English, and just could not find us. Or we couldn't find them, because they weren't actually where we were.
It was a little bit of both.
It's true. But yeah, Danny, before we get into Standard, do you want to talk about like how the Witchwood changed Wild? Because I feel like maybe it didn't change as much for you guys as it did for us, because we had a whole rotation, which doesn't really affect you guys at all. You guys just got some new cards.
Sure. So, I mean, to me, I think that this... initially, I thought the set was like a Karazhan in power level relative to everything, but it's actually surprised me a lot. I'm pretty happy with some of the new directions that the decks, that the new cards have brought, because they are not necessarily like power creepy, but they're more towards like building new types of archetypes. But overall, not too many new things happened. Obviously, Paladin split into odd and even. But besides that, the only really new deck that's come out so far is Giant's Mage. That's an interesting one. Giant's Mage came out because of the Book of Spectres. So now you can consistently hit Naga on 5 in Mage. And yeah, you have a bunch of control tools, so you're turning aggro down and you're just destroying control.
Does the Molten Giant unnerf help at all, like make those decks better, or is it just kind of irrelevant because it was already free?
So it matters, but not specific. I mean, obviously, when you have Naga turn five, it doesn't matter. But now it's more, it's easier to play Molten Giant as time goes along. So if, like, you put up a wave of, like, Naga and then some Giants, and then it gets cleared somehow with, like, a Brawl from Warrior or something, now you can play your Molten Giant a little bit quicker. So you can put on a little bit more pressure. I mean, it just changes the break point at where you want to keep your opponent, really.
Mm. But really, not too many new decks besides, like, changing some.
Some people are trying to slot the Molten Giant into, like, Reno Lock now, which it wasn't before, but now it's barely passable. So that's a thing. But otherwise, I don't really think it's seeing much impact. Everyone tried doing Handlock for a little bit, but it's not really good enough when you have just Mal'Ganis and Void Lords and Doom Guards.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. When I did the expansion draft for the Tempestorm thing, there was one match against just Saiyan where I got like five or six Mal'Ganises in a turn, and it was just insane. Like, I cubed it, and I think he did his math wrong or something, and he ended up accidentally killing the cubes. So, like, going into my turn, I just had five or six Mal'Ganises and just killed him. I was like, huh. I don't think it mattered. Like, he couldn't win anyways, but it was just funny. Because it was just, like, it was insane.
I think one of the funniest things I've seen with Mal'Ganis recently was I was scrolling through the Twitter land, and when I was looking through the Twitter, I found someone's tweet, and it showed Toki Time Tinker, and Toki Time Tinker is the 6-mana 5/5 mage card that allows you to grab a legendary minion from the past and put it in your hand. And
I'm so familiar what it means with Toki-chan.
Yeah, I know you are. So when you get a minion from the past, it's obviously one that's in wild. So you play this card in standard, and you can get wild minions that you typically wouldn't be able to get. And it was actually against a face hunter, and the Toki Time Tinker gave Mal'Ganis. And the face hunter unfortunately could not click his hero power button to eliminate the mage, because ice block was permanent now.
Is it unfortunate or is it justice?
Yeah, that's a gray line that really confides in where you draw your alliances. Are you a hunter gamer by heart, or are you a filthy control mage player by heart? I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it was justice, but it happens.
Depends what server I'm on. But yeah, so the wild meta, not really too much shaken up with this new set, just some new iterations of decks and people just trying out stuff. But overall,
there's a pretty cool combo with the Azalina Soul Thief and Togwaggle, because you have Aviana Kun.
Ooh, tell us about that. I want
to
know.
So you used to go and play Aviana Kun, Malagos, and then a bunch of burn spells, but now you change your deck. You're still playing the same control core, where you're playing, like, branching paths. You actually add in the new, the draw cards, good enough. I'm not sure the name.
Furious Howl?
Yeah, that's good enough. I think it's actually, it's arguably better than branching paths, but, so you're running the core druid control package, so you do well against paladin, you do well against, like, aggro hunter, and now, when you're playing up against your control matchups, instead of going with the Malagos OTK, you go and you play King Togwaggle, and then you, obviously after your Aviana Kun, and then you play your Azalina Soul Thief. So your opponent, like, gets the deck that you have, which you ran through all of it trying to assemble your combo. So they get maximum three cards. Then, like, you have the rest of their deck, and if they try to play the ransom to get it back, well, you have their hand. So you just play the ransom back to keep it.
That sounds like a lot of work, but it's amazing because it has Togwaggle. Or Togwaggle.
Yeah, it's not that much work, though, because it's the same thing like gathering the Malagos OTK, which was good enough to be there. Now, I'm not sure it's direct. I honestly don't think it's as good as Malagos at the moment, because Malagos just straight up kills you at that point. But it gives you some more room in the deck to play more reactive stuff, because you're not playing the Moonfires. You're not necessarily playing Living Roots. So you can fit more stuff in the deck when you're doing this. So you can be a little, essentially, I think it's better against aggro. And then against control, like, everything goes off to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was actually playing that deck in Standard, and the version in Standard, the way it's played is you have to rely on Twig of the World Tree, and you play Twig of the World Tree, you get it down to one proc, you then play King Togwaggle. After you play King Togwaggle, you then swing with the proc, you then play Azalina Soul Thief and take everything, and it's essentially the same deck, and it, I feel like it has a lot of potential. And the reason I'm seeing that in Wild, I'm not sure, obviously, with Wild meta, because it's a little bit different, being that they have the giant combination of cards known as the Giants. And the interesting part about it is better against aggro than the Malagos deck, because you can you only need four cards for a combo, whereas Malagos, you would need at least six or seven. So the combo is less cards. You cycle through your deck so quickly with the addition of all these draw cards from Branching Path, UI, Ultimate Infestation, sorry, Nourish, and Furious Howl, or Ferocious Howl, whatever the official name is. And you cycle through your deck so quickly that you basically have no cards left in your deck when you achieve this combo, and there's no physical way for your opponent to play around it unless they're running something like Dirty Rat and pull out one of the pieces. That's the only way I can really see them playing around that, but I don't think Wild can afford for Dirty Rat to really exist with the giant decks. And
yeah, you have to be playing like a Reno list to be running one of those at the moment.
Exactly. And I mean, this combo just seems absurd against everything, because you take every single deck to fatigue, and then you take their deck, which is going to be good enough to play on its own, and you cycle through your deck insanely faster, so you probably have 10 cards up on them. And fatigue, and you have this massive board state that they have to answer, that they can only answer with the cards in their hand. So, I mean, it seems, in theory, like a very strong deck, because you're only running four combo pieces, and that's all you need.
Yeah. Sippy, we actually hit number one EU in Wild with the deck, but, I mean, he does that with every other deck, so it's not such a notable feat that he did it with this deck. But, I mean, he still did it, so...
Hmm. That's interesting. Well, speaking about Standard, do you want to talk about the Standard metagame a little bit? Just kind of an overview of what the kind of tiers are right now, how the new, I guess, like, the new rotation affected everything, and then we can get into, like, what we've been playing and stuff like that. I can go over what I think is tier one right now, and Jace, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think like the tier one decks right now are probably not actually defined outside of maybe Q-Block and Baku Hunter. I think Odd Paladin is definitely there. Like, everybody's been hyping that up. So I think it's like Q-Block, Odd Paladin, Baku Hunter for tier one, but I think there's also like a lot of other tier one decks like Odd Rogue. And then there's, like, I'm really biased to Big Mage and stuff like that. But maybe that's more tier 2. I don't know. What do you think, Jace?
I think we're at a state right now that it's very hard to definitively say what's tier 1, what's tier 3, what's tier 7, what's tier 0. I think the only deck that we can reassure and say is tier 1 right now is Q-Block. And just because Q-Block didn't really lose anything, it gained a couple tools. It lost, like, maybe one or two cards that weren't even that relevant to its game plan. And then after that, I mean, there's a fair amount of decks that either feel strong or have been having some success. And those in the form of, I know Odd Cost Paladin has had a lot of success. There's been multiple different versions of Rogue that have had some success in the form of, I know Quest Rogue's having success right now. Miracle Rogue's having success. Odd Cost Rogue is having success. Prince Kaliseth Rogue is having success. And along with that, I think I think the only real classes that we can say like currently have not been having that much success is probably warrior and druid, but even druid just picked up a new deck that has been surprisingly doing well in the form of the Hadronox taunt druid, and that's just because it has so much game against control decks in the form of just spamming out big threats, and you get to do it three times with the witching hour. It summons a beast, and your only beast in the deck is Hadronox. But Ray was mentioning there is counterplay to this in the form of, you know, giving your opponent a beast, and there's a couple cards that actually do that in the game. One of those being Ray's favorite because he likes big control mage, Polymorph. Yeah. And Polymorph allows you to do that, and then I'm sure there's some other cards in the game that allow you to do that. So it's very hard to say where the meta is going and shifting, because, I mean, like for instance, I was playing Fatigue Warrior, and Fatigue Warrior with Dead Man's Hand felt really good. Then again, I only queued into Rogues and Paladins and even a couple mages that were Burn mages, but it still felt really good. We'll have to see when I queue into a Warlock if I still have that sentiment. But, I mean, it's really hard to say at this point.
Like, even
you can just Black Hell them down.
Dude, even Quest Warrior, like, everybody messaged me on day one, like, yo, what's the Quest Warrior list? And I was like... I ain't even know, dude. I'm addicted to Big Mage right now. I was playing Toki, and I was just having a lot of fun, but I was also doing really well. And my friend Korokstron was playing Quest Mage, and he was consistently getting top 10. He was very close to rank 1 multiple times with Quest Warrior. So it's just like, it's so hard to figure out what's tier 1, because everybody is doing well. It seems like with everything, like there's just so much diversity right now. It's crazy, but there's definitely more popular decks than other decks, like Odd Paladin, Baku Hunter, Rogue in general, I feel like are more popular than these off meta control decks, even though I don't think the meta is even close to solved right now, but I don't necessarily think they're better. I think that they're just more popular because they're easier to play, and probably just because they're cheaper. These control decks, I feel like they're probably really expensive dust-wise. I know my mage deck is definitely expensive dust-wise, because every other minute, people are asking me what they can replace X legendary card with in the deck.
I think this is the first meta for a while, too, where aggro decks aren't really expensive, because everyone was running Kel'Seth and Patches in all their aggro decks before. And now that you're not running many Kel'Seth decks and Patches is rotated out, like, you don't have two legendaries that you have to auto-include in your aggro deck.
Mm-mm.
So aggro's definitely gotten cheaper.
Yeah, and along with that, it's also most aggro decks are much easier to refine than control decks, because, for instance, if you wanted to build a Baku Odd Cost Paladin or an Odd Cost Hunter, well, right off the bat, half of your options are eliminated. You can't put any even cost cards in your deck. I mean, you could, but that'd be kind of silly and against the point of Baku. But half of your options are already limited, and with that, you only want to play certain cards, because you know the aim of the deck. The aim of Baku Hunter or Odd Cost Hunter, whatever you prefer to call it, is to kill the opponent as quick as possible so that you can go to your next ladder game and win again. That's the goal of that deck. And I mean, cards that do that are Chargers, Weapons, Leper Gnomes, and just stuff like that. And I mean, it's fairly easier to build that deck than, say, the optimized Taunt Warrior list or the optimized Odd Cost Warrior list, because your options are limited for that, so you can't play as many. But on top of all of that, it's like, what tech cards should you play when you don't know what the meta is looking like? And now that the meta is starting to become more and more refined, it starts to become easier to build said control decks.
I don't even know if it's becoming more refined, because I feel like there's just more decks being discovered. Like yesterday, when I was playing on NA, I was seeing Hydronox Druid like almost every other game for a couple hours, and then all of a sudden I was just seeing these random odd costs. Like, they were just playing like just weird cards. I played against Dog, who was playing Headcrack in his Oddcos rogue. And then I started seeing, after I beat Dog like two or three times, I started to play against other people playing Oddcos rogue, but they were playing the 3-mana 2/1 that deals 3 damage randomly split amongst all minions.
I have seen amongst, that.
Like, I just feel like the meta is very unrefined right now. Like, I feel like people are figuring out what's actually viable, but I feel like there's just so much diversity right now, which is really fun. I don't know, I really enjoy it. Like, there's so many things that are out there. It's almost like finding treasure, which is like what I love about just the beginning of new metagames. It's like, if you can find that new deck and you can put your mark on it and then make a tweet and get a bunch of Twitter points, it's really satisfying. But that's because I'm superficial and I only validate myself by how many likes and retweets I get on my Twitter tweets.
Well, see, I'm the opposite. I don't like, I understand the treasure aspect, Ray. You're out there searching for the treasure. You don't even have a map right now. And then you're just hoping to find it. I'm just kind of waiting for someone to come along and be like, oh, here's a treasure map. And I'm like, oh, I can follow this treasure map pretty easy, and then I'll get the treasure. But that's just difference in personalities and difference in people. I'm a filthy net decker that is waiting for everyone else to refine the meta while I play Q block on ladder. No, I'm just playing.
It's funny. I'm watching you guys develop decks. I'm looking at a lot of standard Twitter lists. And the difference between wild and standard at this point is, it's like, obviously it's the largest it's been in the game, but like, everything seems like a budget deck to me, to be perfectly honest. Like, you're looking at like Paladin, like Odd Paladin, you're running Stormwind Champion, you're running a lot of, like Raid Leader was in the deck for a while, where like, in wild you have like Muster for Battle, you have the Warhorse Sentry, you have a lot of really cool cards that didn't see play before, but now that you have the selection, you have like so much more choice. That's one of the things I like about the Baku and Gen, not so much Gen, because I mean there's not that many even decks out there right now. But one of the things I like to see is there's a lot of Ironbeak Owl now. It's an odd silence. Like, you never saw Ironbeak Owl before, and like now everyone's playing it.
I mean, you never saw Raid Leader being played in a tier one standard deck. Like, that's insane to me. Raid Leader is a basic card that is a 3-mana 2/2, all your other minions at +1/+1, and people are playing it in the Odd Paladin deck just because it's a buff, and when you're playing Odd Paladin, you have a lot of minions on the board. So it makes sense. It's just kind of hilarious that something that's been so weak for a long time is forced to see play because it's the only option when you're forced to play odd cost cards. I really like that effect that it has on deck building. By the way, Jace, did you know that Reckless Rocketeer is not an odd cost card? I just figured that out because the person I responded to just called me an idiot.
Ray, I will preface this by saying I told you to tell him to replace it with Reckless Rocketeer as a joke, and yeah. I knew Reckless Rocketeer cost 6 mana when I said that. And even Danny commented on it and said, that's hilarious because it doesn't work, and then you still went and did it. So you kind of are putting yourself in an awkward spot.
Intentionally screwing with them, Ray.
No, I thought that was like...
You thought that was a legitimate replacement. I mean, think about it this way. If it's always in your opening hand, then sure. Maybe it's a legitimate replacement.
Oh, that's why you said that.
That's why I said that, because they're going to play games and it's always going to be the opening hand and they're never going to notice that it's an even cost card and odd deck.
Oh my god. Okay, so somebody on Twitter asked me what they could replace Leroy with in their Baku Hunter, and I responded Reckless Rocketeer. That's some context for that, for you right there.
And oh, I have my to god. Go I have to go find this and like both tweets.
Oh my god. It's oh boy. That's a good meme. But yeah, I don't know. It feels like everything's super diverse right now, and there's just so many decks that are being played that it's hard to actually figure out what is tier one, because everything feels good. It's really weird. Obviously, there are decks that are bad, like that are worse, but it feels like there's more decks that could potentially be tier one right now than there has ever been before. Like, I don't know. Do you feel that way? Like, there's actually just so many decks that could be considered tier one right now that maybe tier one, tier two just kind of aren't really a thing right now.
I don't think so, because I think when push comes to shove, people are gonna revert back to good old pal Q Block and realize how absurdly powerful that deck is. Sure. The only thing they lost was Nazoth, and even losing Nazoth, it only hurts a couple of matchups. It doesn't really hurt that many matchups. It mostly just hurts matchups like, for instance, Quest Rogue. It kind of hurts Quest Rogue because you don't have the re-added value of getting back all of your minions. But I think a lot of
Godfrey
people...
too.
Yeah, you did get Godfrey, crazy. And Godfrey's crazy against aggro. And I don't know, it's really hard to say, because although all of these decks are having success right now, it's also because everything everybody's playing against is unrefined. So a lot of these decks are having success in unrefined metas, but in reality, if the meta was refined, would half of these decks have success? I don't know. It's hard to say. So that's the beautiful thing about when an expansion comes out, is that you really have no clue. You're just kind of playing, going with the flow, having fun, enjoying the new stuff. And then, I mean, you just got to take it from there.
I think it's expansion plus rotation, which is why this is happening. Because usually when a new expansion hits, people can kind of fall back on their old decks and just add new cards to it, which is what we saw happen to Q-Block. But Q-Block was really the only deck from the past metagame that stuck around. Most of the other decks just got completely rotated, like Jade Druid, the combo priest is like sort of alive still, but for the most part, most of the cards just got rotated and relegated to wild. So there's no, okay, let's work on this deck that we had in the past and improve it with this new set. Now it's just like everything is gone. You have to start from scratch, except for a couple fringe cases like Q-Block. Like, if you put Q-Block in its own tier and then tried to figure out the next tier, it's so difficult to figure out what's actually better than something else, just because everything seems to be doing well for everyone right now. There's just so much different ideas that are going around, and it's usually doesn't take this long to kind of get an idea. I feel like this is the longest it's ever taken.
Yeah, I think it's a good, it's a well-designed set. There's nothing that's really standout-ish, but in that sense, finding the niche, the like places where specific cards go is like more important at this point. Like Marsh Drake, the 3-mana 5/4, like that's doing pretty well. I didn't expect that one to take off.
Is it like an Odd Rogue and stuff? Is that where you're seeing it?
It's an Odd Rogue. Odd Paladin and even Odd Hunter as well. Because typically you can just deal with a 2/1 when you're playing an aggressive deck, because you're gonna have something on board by the time you play it.
I'll have to add that and win a game and then make a new tweet. Dude, that's
change
all
one card. That's shake
like,
it up.
Like, have you seen my Twitter lately? It's just been like different variations of Big Mage that I've been playing. I'll change like two or three cards, win like four or five games, get to like top 20, and then just make a new tweet.
What a sellout.
Dude, it's amazing. Like, I'm looking at my Twitter, like every tweet has like 100 plus likes just from like a few card changes. People are like, oh my god, he's a genius. He added another new card.
He took out Toki Time Tinker. Wow, he's not even playing any new card from the set.
Dude, that's actually my latest iteration. Just the only new cards from the set are Voodoo Doll, and that's it. It's just like, at the beginning, I had like a lot of new cards, and then at every tweet after that, you just see like the new cards getting taken out and just reverting back to last meta's Big Mage, but minus some cards. Oh god, it's actually kind of funny now that I think of it like that. Like, I'm just slowly taking out all the fun stuff and refining it more, and then people are just like, oh my god, it's oh gosh, That's actually pretty funny now that you, like, I literally took out Toki and added Spellbreaker and made a new tweet.
You can't be doing that, Ray. The poor people.
Dude, it has 158 likes right now, dude. It's that's, like, good.
I'm gonna go unlike it. That way your ego gets hurt a little bit.
No, no. I need my points, dude. How am I gonna know I'm a good player? I'm nothing without my Twitter likes. Oh god.
If you're nothing without your Twitter likes, you shouldn't have them in the first place.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, but I'm like actually not at the same time. Hey man, you gotta do something when you're sick. And
understandable.
For me, that something is just tweeting as much as I possibly can.
About Twitter whoring anything. Yourself out, Ray.
That's exactly what I'm doing, and it's actually been pretty fun, and I've been enjoying it a lot. But speaking about Twitter, if you want to follow me, it's at PG_AC. I'm just saying. A like on Twitter means, I don't know what it means. It actually doesn't mean much at all.
Means one more diameter increase on his ego.
Get no. away from Ray's Twitter. So what do you guys think were some cards that are performing like over the top, like some cards, let's call them the sleeper picks or like the corridor creeper picks?
It's actually really weird because I don't think there have been anything super huge like how we've seen in the past. It feels like it's much more like less so, but there definitely are some. My favorite card that really wasn't talked about that I think is actually one of the best cards in the set is the neutral 3-mana common. what is it? The clan, the
Hench Clan Thug.
Hench Clan Thug. It's a 3-mana 3/3 that whenever your hero attacks, it gets +1/+1. And that's been seeing a lot of play in Rogue, and it's actually been pretty insane. So basically, you just play it on 3, you hit with your hero power, and then it's a 4/4. So it's a 4/4 for 3 right off the bat, that if it doesn't get answered, it just kind of snowballs. And I feel like that card just was not talked about at all in any of the set reviews. Like, it wasn't really highlighted. What do you guys think? What are your picks? Or what's your pick for, like, the most underrated card?
I think that Nightmare Amalgam is doing surprisingly well right now. A lot of people were like, oh yeah, it'll just have all of the effects, but like having the dragon or the elemental tag on 3-mana is really, really good, especially for dragons. Like, I'm trying to build some dragon decks in Wild because you have the Twilight Guardian and like the Blackwing Corruptor.
Mm-hmm.
So this, but there aren't any cheap dragons. So anything I want to play that's like a curved deck, I really can't slot much into it. So this card actually doing surprisingly well, and I've seen some standard lists where like Zoo is running this straight up as is because it's a demon. Some Murloc decks are running it now.
Mm-hmm. Jace, what is your favorite pick for underrated card?
It's really hard to say. I think the combination with Witching Hour and Hazardox has been doing really well. But I think people knew Witching Hour had potential and was powerful. Whispering Woods, I think, is really good. And I think as the meta goes on and it gets more refined, this card could be very dangerous. I think I saw Muzzy playing around with a token druid variant that ran Whispering Woods with Soul of the Forest. And that seemed really strong and really absurd. But the safest pick that I have to say right now that I can actually notice is Witch's Cauldron. Witch's Cauldron has seen play in... excuse me. Witch's Cauldron has seen play in Odd Cost Paladin. Just because generating extra value and letting you get cards you typically wouldn't have is actually insane. Because, I mean, sometimes you play Witch's Cauldron and you get a Hex for their Void Lord. And sometimes you get an Earthshock to get through taunts. And then sometimes you get a Lightning Storm to clear your opponent's board.
Sometimes you get a Bloodlust.
Yeah, or you get a Bloodlust and they're just dead.
On board.
Yeah, it's super weird. because I'm looking at the ratings. Like, Hearthstone Top Decks did like a ratings thing where you could rate the cards, and cards like Hench Clan Thug had lower ratings than cards like Worm Guard had a super high rating, which is like the 311 neutral Battlecry game plus one attack, that kind of stuff. I don't know, it's just interesting to see that all these cards had such low ratings, but they're so relevant now. Witch's Cauldron, it's kind of like a pseudo... what's the card that draws you a card whenever a minion dies? It's
Cultmaster?
The four. Yeah, it's like a pseudo Cultmaster for the odd deck. And it's so annoying to play against, because a lot of the times you'll have the ability to clear their small minions when they have the Witch's Cauldron in play, but you actually can't clear the cauldron because it has four health. So you're just like, man, if I clear this small board, they just get a handful of shaman spells. But if I don't clear this board, I'm just going to die if they have any buff. So you're just caught between a rock and a hard place once that card's played. And once it's played, it's probably already generated value. So it's a nightmare scenario a lot of the times. At least when you're playing decks like Q-Block, because none of your AoEs deal four. Like, Hellfire only hits three. Defile is probably not going to hit up to four because all their minions are just tiny dudes. So that's definitely a card that's been having a lot of impact on the metagame, and I don't think anybody really saw it coming. But you mentioned Whispering Woods, and I actually played against... I don't remember who it was, but it was at like High Legend, and they just had a giant hand. They played Whispering Woods, and then they played the Death Rattle card. What was it called?
Soul of the Forest.
They played the Soul of the Forest. And I was just like sitting there looking at the board. I was playing Big Mage. I'm just like, all of my AoE for the most part costs like a lot of mana. So if I clear this board of 1/1s, like, he's just going to get a bunch of 2/2s. But if I do nothing, he's just going to buff these 1/1s. And I ended up just getting double Savage Roar the next turn and just losing. And I was like, damn, that's actually pretty good. But I haven't seen it much since then for some reason. I feel like that's actually probably going to start to see more play, because that deck can actually play Spreading Plague and stuff
Violet
like that.
Teacher. That's like that's old school Token Druid. That's crazy.
Yeah, it can actually play those cards, whereas the Hydronox version can't play Spreading Plague because the plague minions are beasts.
Yeah, they are beasts.
They are beasts.
They're beasts at blocking little Silverhand recruits.
They are, dude. So what do you think have been the biggest flops? I'm going to let Danny go first.
Honestly, I think that to me, Gen is probably the biggest flop, because like they put Baku out there, and everyone started off saying, okay, so the upgraded hero power is better than a hero power on one, but I had so much optimism for an even dex, and maybe this is just because I'm in Wild, but I mean, besides Paladin, I have seen little to no success with any other even dex. And I think Paladin is just good with even because Paladin aggression is good in general. Like, I think that like any aggro deck is better with the even. I think that it's better than its even counterpart.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's an interesting one, because like Greymane's not an obvious flop because it's still played, but with the amount of hype that it got, I can definitely see where you're coming from. Like, it didn't live up to the hype. That makes sense. What about you, Dr. Tinky Winky?
So I have three major flops that I see right now, with one probably changing in the future. So the one that'll change in the future, I think, is Countess Ashmore. I think a lot of people said this card was going to be like absurd and really good and played in a lot of decks. And I think it sees some play, but right now it's just like, there hasn't been a deck that has found room to put it in or try and play it. So I think that makes this card a flop. For now, I think eventually when things settle out, it won't be as big of a flop. But the two flops that I found were from Shaman and from Priest. So from Priest, it was Coffin Crasher. I have not seen a single deck with Coffin Crasher right now. And I think a lot of people said that card was going to be pretty solid and pretty good and be like the new age version of Big Mage. So I haven't seen Coffin Crasher yet. Maybe it sees an appearance, but for now I haven't. But my biggest one is not Shaman. It's actually Paladin, and that's Bellringer Sentry. People said Bellringer Sentry is going to be nuts, and I have not seen that card in any competitively viable deck right now.
I definitely thought that that card was going to be good. Both of them. I thought that Coffin Crasher... I still think Coffin Crasher will be good, but they're... Like, I looked at the death rattles, and there's just no good death rattles besides the 9-drop that Priest has.
Yeah, just the 9-drop and itself.
Like, there's just not enough support for it to be good, but I think it will eventually be good. But the other card, the Bellringer Sentry, yeah, that card definitely flopped hard.
Yeah, I think that it flopped too. It's just because there's so many other better Paladin decks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could be playing, and you can play Secret Paladin, but... I mean, this is what's been happening in Wild for a long time. Secret Paladin's been around. It's just not good because there are better Paladin decks. It does what the other Paladin decks do, like, at a slower pace.
Mm-hmm. So, I have a few flops. I think that Rush as a mechanic kind of was a flop. I feel like a lot of people hyped it up, and it's really not seeing that much play. At least as much as... I feel like it was perceived higher. It's not terrible, but it's honestly not amazing. And the other flop is, this is going to be really awkward to just like hear, but I actually think Shudderwalk is a flop. If you look if you look at the stats, Shudderwalk decks are actually bad. They have poor matchups against almost everything, except for, like, I don't know, it doesn't even have an amazing Q-Blog matchup. It's, like, 50-50.
Rome wasn't built in a day, Ray.
That is one thing. Control decks haven't really been refined. That's one of the things about starts of expansions, that, like, control decks take the longest to refine, whereas aggro, you just throw in a bunch of stuff. But, I mean, putting in the right things to counter aggression is always tough. And I find that because no one was ever playing Control Shaman beforehand, it's tough to build something that works properly without, like, a ton of experimentation.
Well, I think, like, the combo is just, like, very demanding deck-wise. Like, you need to have a lot of specific cards. And the metagame right now is actually insanely aggressive. Even Q-Block can be aggressive. All they have to do is get their weapon on 5, pull out a Doomguard, and they can just kill you. Mountain Giant as a card in general, if you have to hex it, like, you're not going to be able to deal with their demons at all, and you don't actually just kill them right away either. Like, Shudderwalk, it's like a 2-turn combo most of the time, right? Like, you take one turn to play your Shudderwalk, so you get your handful of Shudderwalks, blah blah blah, whatever, then you kill them. Like, you can actually just die in that window, and you're not healing for full most of the time either. Against aggro decks, like, the Odd Rogue absolutely destroys it. A lot of people think that the matchup isn't that bad, but against good Odd Rogue players, you're just going to get destroyed. even as playing against, like, playing as Mage against, like, the Shudderwalk deck, it's a bad matchup, but it's not actually that bad that I feel like I can't win, because Dragoncaller Alana, if you just time it correctly, they just can't do anything about it. Like, if you play the Dragoncaller Alana when they want to Shudderwalk, like, they just can't, because it doesn't deal with the board. Like, they don't deal 5 damage AoE with their Shudderwalk combos. Or at least the first one, right? So it's super interesting that Shudderwalk, to me, has been a flop when everybody's so hyped on it because they saw Disguised Toast get legend with it. They're just like, oh my god, it's the best thing ever. Look at what Toast is doing. He's, like, playing a million Shudderwalks, doing all this stuff. But at high ranks, that deck is non-existent right now. Because aggro is completely just crushing it into the ground and just pushing it out of the metagame. And a lot of people just won't see that because they don't really play at high ranks, which might sound condescending, but I don't think that it's actually going to live up to the hype that it got. Like, everybody was like, oh my god, this is the new Yogg! Like, how stupid is Blizzard, blah blah blah. The only thing that I think is wrong with Shudderwalk is the fact that the animations take so long. I actually don't think it's broken, and I don't even think it's good right now. I don't know, what do you think about that, Jace, since you seemed...
All I have to say is my claw is the claw, my jaw is the bite, and some other stuff, I don't know what else he says. No, I mean, Shudderwalk was actually... Shudderwalk and Hagatha were the first two cards I crafted golden from this set. I actually, while we were actually doing this podcast, I forgot I didn't have Lord Godfrey, so I instantly made a golden Lord Godfrey. No, so I think the statement that Rome wasn't built in a day applies to this, because I think a lot of players, it reminds me a lot of maybe a Quest Rogue-esque Quest Mage deck. As to which one it will be, only time will tell, because both of which were hard to build and make an optimal list on, and they both do very similar things. Shudderwalk does more of like a Quest Mage-esque effect where once it gets the combo pieces, it ends the game immediately. There's literally no counterplay that your opponent can do. As soon as you play Murmuring Elemental Shudderwalk, if they do not kill you next turn, they have lost the game. So I think that aspect of the deck just makes it almost absurd. I think now it's just building the deck in a way that it doesn't get crushed by aggro. Because right now, even with all the AoE, it sort of just gets stomped by aggro. And I think it'll be a matter of time before the deck is built properly, and I think it has a lot of potential because Shudderwalk does absurd things that this game should not allow, and most of the time when absurd things happen, you can compare it to Quest Mage, but with Quest Mage you need like a 5-card hand. For Shudderwalk you only need a 2-card hand, but you have to have set up the combo through the course of the game. And maybe a Shudderwalk isn't even that good this expansion. All it takes is one Battlecry minion. All it takes is more stall for Shaman. And instantly this becomes one of the most oppressive decks the game's ever seen.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the devs are going to be very aware of that and not print something that will make it even better. What I'm interested to find out is, I don't think anybody's really done this yet, is just play Shudderwalk as a good control card and just play Control Shaman. Like, nobody's playing it as a control card. They're playing it as a combo deck. And that's something that's really interesting to me.
I've played a little bit as a control card, and, I mean, of course, you play things like Stonehill, you play things like... You still play probably Serenite Chain Gang, just because getting extra 6/6s is good. I think one of the issues with that right now is with the loss of Maelstrom Portal, you really don't have that much AoE in Shaman. You have Storm, which is like not that good. You have Volcano, which is fairly decent. But after that, you don't have anything else besides Hagatha. And then maybe you can consider Shudderwalk and AoE if Hagatha comes down first. So I think the main issue that Shaman is having right now is the aspect of clearing the board. Mm-hmm. I think it's fine on spot removal. I think it's fine on like the combo aspect of it, or even the cards you play. Because, I mean, you could just build a control... You technically could just build a control Shaman and play one Life Drinker, one Murmuring, and, I mean, that's really all you need. One Grumble as well. And you play Shudderwalk, one Life Drinker, one Murmuring, and one Grumble, and that's the only 4 cards you need to complete the combo, but then make it a control deck past that.
If you don't play the Harbinger, how do you actually like combo off without, like, because you can get the Grumble effect to go off before you make the Serenite Chain Gang copy because it's random. Like, is that's not a guaranteed combo, right?
No, it is a guaranteed combo. And the reason I say it's a guaranteed combo is because you play Murmuring. All right, so you can have coin, and you can go Murmuring, coin, Shudderwalk. If you don't have coin, you go Murmuring, and you then play... sorry, I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name. A Grumble. You play Murmuring, Grumble. Murmuring comes back to your hand as a one-mana card, and then you can do the combo.
Oh, okay, so you Murmuring, Grumble. Okay, so it's just like a little bit more set up to it. Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, it's a very similar setup process because you actually, you have to play Grumble at some point in the game no matter what. So as long as you combo with Murmuring, you're fine instead of, you know, just tempoing out a Grumble. And sometimes, I mean, technically you could go on a limb and not even like do the Murmuring Shudderwalk. I think you'd want to. And it's not that hard. I mean, and you could probably afford to even maybe put in a Fireplume Harbinger if you're running like a control elemental shaman. Like maybe you run a control elemental shaman and you run one Life Drinker, one Murmuring, one Grumble, and one Fireplume, and a Shudderwalk, and that's only 5 cards, and you just put 25 control cards in your deck. Well, you'd have to put Serenite Chain Gangs, of course, at least one.
So we have a deck that's been running one ofs for a while in Wilds. We've tested some Reno Shudderwalk decks, which is really interesting because Shudderwalk acts as an extra Reno effect in those decks.
That's hilarious.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you can't obviously play Kazakus, which is unfortunate, but in Wild, you have all of those removals that you didn't have before, like Maelstrom Portal. And I think that there's enough. The deck's not great, but it definitely has potential. So I think that that's definitely possible. It'll definitely take some time, but I mean, if we can, I mean, obviously the second Reno heal is pretty significant, but I think that Control Shaman's definitely an idea. While you guys are on the topic of Shaman, how do you guys like Hagatha? Because, in Wild, when we have so much removal, Hagatha is actually not too good, to be honest. I'm not a fan of Hagatha so far.
I mean, it actually just makes things really awkward to me. It's like a decent tool if you're going with the control route, but going with like the Shudderwalk combo, it kind of just makes your hand really clunky, and when you combo off, it just becomes harder because a lot of the time, it's just difficult to play things at a certain point if your opponent's not playing stuff. Like, you don't want to play Volcano or any of your overload cards, so that way you can actually combo off. And then when you go to play the Murmuring Grumble combo, if you have Hagatha up, it just fills your hand, and then it becomes to the point where if you actually try to combo off, like, sometimes you just, like, the Shudderwalks will die instead of going back to your hand. You just have random Shaman spells from playing minions. I think it just makes the deck, like, more awkward if you're trying to do things with Shudderwalk in general. So, I don't know. That's just been my experience. I've tried it, and it's, like, good against aggro when it's good, but it just feels really awkward to play if you're going for that combo type thing. But if you're playing a control deck, I feel like it'd be very good if you're not, like, going for a Shudderwalk type thing. I don't know. It's mediocre to me right now. What do you think, Jace?
I actually really like Hagatha. But, I mean, I don't... It's really weird, because Shudderwalk, you want to be playing Shudderwalk, and you want to be killing with the combo, and if you do Hagatha, there's a potential that the combo does not work. But I do think Hagatha deserves a spot in some control variant decks. So, I mean, I like Hagatha a lot. I've had some really good experiences. I've won games that I should not win with Hagatha. But, I mean, that's not to say that it shouldn't be put in the deck. That's kind of from, like, personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I think a lot of these cards are actually still really good, but they're just not positioned well in this metagame. Like you said, the Coffin Crasher isn't good right now. It was a huge flop, which I agree with, but I think in the future it's going to get better. That one card that you mentioned as well, that's like the curator for different cards.
Countess Ashmore, yeah.
yeah, Hagatha in general. I feel like all these cards are actually good, but not right now. They're huge. They're kind of huge flops right now, but they're going to just get better with the metagame evolving. Like, if Shaman gets more control cards and becomes a control deck more so than a combo deck, Hagatha's an auto include, right? And it would be insane. So I feel like that's what's happening right now. What do you think are the winners or losers class-wise? Like, what do you think are the classes that kind of gained the most from this set or just came out on top? And what do you think kind of flopped in general?
I think Warlock positioned fine. I think Shaman got some tools, but it needs to figure out how to use those. I think Rogue really got helped. I think Priest stayed the same for the most part.
I think Priest flopped. At the moment, I don't really see any brand new Priest decks coming out. I see Spiteful Priest. Maybe you have some Quartz Elemental Silence Priest type stuff, but I don't know. I'm not too happy with how Priest turned out.
I think that Priest has a control build that's been doing well, but it's not popular or anything. Like, I don't think it's bad, but it's definitely not anything that's exciting. It's not utilizing the new cards, that's for sure. What do you think, Danny? Like, you said you think Priest flopped. Like, what else?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you guys were... I think you had hit the nail on the coffin when you were talking about Coffin Crasher, about how in a different meta it'll be better. But, I just don't really like seeing any of these cards. The big thing to me is, does any card fit into a wild deck? And besides, I mean, I tried playing Reno Priest, and, like, that's the place where you're going to fit a card in. And, like, the only thing I could fit in was Squashling, and that's just as an additional heal, and I didn't really think it was that good, to be honest. So, I don't know. I'm just not a fan of Priest in general.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is, like... So, for Wild, it's kind of different, because, like, you just... Not much happened, right? It still kind of remained stagnant. It wasn't enough to shake up the meta. Mm-hmm. I don't know. For me, I think that... Like, the winners are obvious. It's, like, Warlock. I think Hunter is a huge winner in this expansion. But, yeah, definitely Priest. Warrior's in an awkward spot right now. Everybody says, like, Mage is in a really bad spot. But I'm really biased because I've been having success with Mage. I think that the lists just aren't refined enough for Mage to really... become super popular, or it's just too, I don't want to say it's too difficult to play, it's just
it's not a curved deck.
It's just not obvious, and it's not I don't know, I feel like even in the last metagame, Big Mage wasn't really popular, even if it was like really good to play, so I don't know. But I think the general public would say that Mage was a flop, but me personally, I don't think it was a flop. I think that Mage was neutral. I don't think it was a winner, because, like, there's two new cards. Voodoo Doll is the only thing that I play right now that's new. Paladin was definitely a winner here. Paladin's super popular right now. Rogue as well. I feel like there's more winners than losers, which is nice. I feel like a lot of classes have viable archetypes right now. Which is
a lot of that's due to Baku. A lot of it is due to Baku creating a deck. I think Baku is probably one of the stronger, I mean, everyone expected it, but Baku is one of the biggest, like, archetype generating cards.
Yeah, it lived up to the hype. That's pretty exciting to me, and it allows deck builders to really shine as well. People who know how to optimize lists are getting rewarded in this current metagame right now. I think Warlock, even though it was a winner, like, with the cards that it got, I felt like it was kind of a loser. That whole weird, if you took damage this turn, gain a bonus effect thing that they were trying to do. Nobody bought that at all.
I actually think it has potential. It's just that I think Q-Block is so absurdly powerful that you would never, like, second-guess it. But, I mean, cards like the Spider card, the 5-mana 4-6 that when you took damage this turn, you gain lifesteal, that's a good card. Like, that is a solid card. The issue is you're comparing it to Skull of Minari, getting a Doomguard down and cubing it and Dark Pacting. But, like, I think the cards that, except for the Bat, I don't think the Bat is that good. I think the Blood Witch and the Spider card, I can't remember its name, it might be like Dark Web Spider or something like that. I think they have potential. I just think the current Warlock deck is absolutely absurd that will not allow for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
true.
All you
gotta do is wait 3 expansions until all that stuff rotates out.
There we go. That'll work.
We just have to wait a year or 2 years. Something like that.
I think
that.
It's a year.
Okay, we just have to wait a year. Easy.
Can't wait for next year.
All right.
So you buy in on the Deathweb Spider stock now, so that when it skyrockets next year, you're making Bitcoin money.
Exactly. I like it.
Oh my god! I remember when we used to do that. Buy now. We're investing in this stock, dude. I remember before Big Mage got popular, I was like, invest all your Bitcoins into Big Mage right now. It is going to go to the moon. We are going to be making money, baby.
What the heck?
Oh, God. I don't even know what stocks I would invest in right now, dude. I'm on the Big Mage still, dude. I'll just make a tweet. I'll be like one of those pump and dumpers, dude. Invest in Toki right now, and then I'll make a tweet. And then I'll sell all... I'll just dust all the Tokis. Oh, my God. I wish that was a thing. I wish you could sell and buy cards in Hearthstone for like some type of BattleNet money or something like that. That'd be so hilarious.
That'd be really funny.
I feel like it would be insane. I feel like it would literally be like cryptocurrency. It like pros could just like tweet out something and it would just go up in price. Oh my god. That'd be crazy. I'm actually really glad that's not a thing.
Yeah, let's be glad that is not a world.
Yeah,
that
imagine
we live
you
in.
With your Twitter point whoring, doing that with stocks.
Oh my god. That would be insane. I don't even want to think. I feel like I would be so addicted to it. Honestly, it would just ruin my life. And I'm like glad that Blizzard only ruined my life partially and not completely. All right. Danny, do you want to get into this email that we got?
I think this is the email from last week.
Oh, whoops. You're right. It is. We're really bad at this, dude. We need JR, man.
Yeah,
he keeps us.
I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm sorry.
No.
You're Dr. J. You have one of the two letters. You have the J. Now, all we need to get is an R. Now,
I have the R as well.
He has the R in doctor. Yeah, maybe you need to.
That doesn't count.
Maybe you need to see him. I think your brain's not working right. I don't think he. I only think he has his PhD in Hearthstone, though. I'm not sure if he has his PhD in anything else, like ophthalmology or no, ophthalmology's your eye, neurology. There we go. That's what it is. That's. I should know this. I literally had a brain tumor. I should know what this is. Oh my god. Yeah, I feel like. Do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's take it out. So, for our Patreon, if you guys want to donate to the show, we have a Patreon. So if you want to get to that, you can find it at www.patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. And we have a bunch of tiers, and JR is in the midst of reorganizing that. But the one that's persisting, at least for the moment, is once you hit a specific tier list, you can ask anyone on the show to do coaching, aka Ray. So, if you want to get some coaching from Ray, go on to Patreon. We have all the details on there.
This is true. I am scheduled for quite a bit of coaching this month. I'm excited. I'm going to teach people how to win.
Yeah.
My last student did win Copa America qualifiers and got a free trip to Brazil. So that was basically paying $30 for a free trip to that's value right
oh
there.
Oh my god, you yeah. can't relate it that way.
$30
simple size of one.
300 plus hours of practicing and you're good to go.
Yeah, so no iTunes reviews this week. So let's go into shoutouts. Let's start with you, Dr. J. Do you have any shoutouts and like you can plug all your info and stuff?
Not really any shoutouts. Just thank y'all for bringing me on the show. I really appreciate it. You can find me at Twitter or Twitch. They're both twitch.com/ or twitter.tv/ Dr. Jikininki. You can spell that DRJIKININKI. I know it's hard, but it'll be well worth the spelling bee. You actually, upon spelling my name correctly, we send you a spelling bee trophy. And I mean, I think that's about it.
Yeah, nice. Sweet. Ray, how about you?
Shout outs to Dr. J for coming on last minute. I really appreciate that. Shoutouts to JR as well. I feel bad for him that he got sick, and I really hope that he gets better soon. It sounds like he'll probably be back next week, I'm assuming. So that'll be good. But yeah, thank you, Jace, for coming on. I do really appreciate that. Whenever something unexpected happens, it always sucks, but I'm happy that we were able to put out this show this week, because this is a really important week. In my opinion, like right after the new set comes out and stuff, there's just so much to talk about, so much going on that I would have felt bad if like I did all these things, played all this Hearthstone and just didn't get to talk about it. That's like the main reason why I joined the podcast, is just because I love talking about Hearthstone. So it always sucks if you don't get to do that. You just kind of, it's like bottling up your emotions, you know, you don't get to talk about it. It just kind of boils up inside you and you go crazy.
And Wilmet's a good way to get all that Hearthstone out.
Exactly. It's like venting, but for Hearthstone.
I mean, you do enough venting on the show, as is too.
That's true. Yo, Blizzard, why are you gonna do this? Oh my god.
Just wait for the next ladder fuck up and you'll see Ray in his prime form.
Oh my god, you're just right, dude. This show is literal therapy. Like, instead of paying a therapist, I just do this show, and then sometimes people buy coffee for me. It's literally just, I'm a genius.
Sometimes people pay coffee for me.
Oh my god, I can't. Please, Dunkin' Donuts, please sponsor me. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, they're next. They're our next sponsor.
Oh, dude, that's not even a joke, man. Like, my manager is legitimately talking to Dunkin' Donuts about sponsoring me. Like, this is a real thing. I'm convinced that it's gonna happen. If I believe, in my head that it will happen hard enough, it'll happen. It'll happen.
How does that sponsorship work? Do you walk into a Dunkin' Donuts and like flip out a badge and like, I'm part of the Dunkin' Donuts crew, give me a coffee?
No. That's literally how it works. Exactly like that.
No.
But you have to be wearing your Men in Black suit for it to work, right?
Yeah, of course.
I think how that stuff works is like, you have a special card. It's like a gift card, basically, with unlimited money on it.
Unlimited money.
Not unlimited money, but like, I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know how it would work. I don't really care. I don't care if I have to pay double for the coffee. If I can have that DD on my chest, like
Danny Donuts.
Yeah, Danny Donuts.
Oh my god. Yes, dude.
Hey, I'm the perfect sponsor. I should be sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh my god. Please don't take this.
I think we got something here.
This is my one thing, Danny, please. This is all I want in life. Don't take it from me.
Danny, no!
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at PG_Racy if you would like to support my degenerate causes. Just leave a Twitter like, that's more important than anything else. On Twitch, Ray C591 if I stop being sick and can actually stream again. Hopefully that'll be soon. What about you, Denny?
Yeah. So I was gonna give shout outs to the same people you did. So yeah, Dr. J, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And JR, when you end up listening to this, feel better. Yeah, but we might as well throw a shout out to the man himself, Mr. Brode. Thank you for Witchwood. Appreciate that one.
Oh, and interviewing me. I just said he interviewed me. For letting me do that thing with him. That was pretty cool. That was dope.
It's pretty neat.
He was a cool and dude.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just said he was a cool dude. That's all I had to say. I'm sorry.
Don't worry.
Continue.
And for my contacts, if you want to get in contact with me, Twitter is DannyDonuts_HS. And I think I'm on Twitch as DannyDonuts45. So, yeah, that wraps it up. Anything else before we go, guys?
Oh, that whole Ben Brode thing. Jace, do you remember at PAX East where Ben Brode came up to us and he just gave me a fist bump and completely ignored you?
Yes, that was great. I really enjoyed that. Thank you for bringing it up, Ray.
Oh, that was so funny. I enjoyed that so much. That's all I had to say. I just wanted to say that. That was hilarious. Oh, my God.
That was very funny, Ray.
It was. I know. I'm glad that you can. You feel the same way. Oh, God.
Well, on that note, thanks for joining us for episode 149 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMet@blizzpro.com with questions, comments, and ideas you have for the show. Shout out to Jake Butno with the music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.